Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to John chapter 1. As best as our ability is to put aside every other thought and care and concern for a little while and just focus upon the Word of God. Just as best that we can, focus upon the Lamb of God. John records for us these incredible words, words that would have brought to the attention of the Jewish hearer 1,000 pictures in his mind instantly. As John spoke these words, "Behold the Lamb," the Jewish person of that day would have the ability to go back and think about the Passover lamb, the sacrificed lamb, the lamb given upon the altar as an offering for atonement. Other pictures would enter in quickly, the scapegoat, where the priest would put the blood upon the forehead of that scapegoat and chase it off out into the wilderness. The pictures that this would describe and put into the mind of people are what I'm trying to get at again as we look through the gospel writings and other writings, the Bible, look through the Bible as a whole, upon the work of the Lamb. John said this in John 1:26 through 29. John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things are done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would clear our minds of any distraction and that you would lay before our minds the picture of the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. That you would cause us to see this Lamb sacrificed for our sins. And I pray that each one here could see this Lamb as payment for their sin personally. Oh, I pray, open our eyes to what is going on here and what is being done. We'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We looked last week, the Lamb watching and waiting. The picture of that human illustration of standing back and waiting for his time. The Bible tells us several times that the crowds couldn't lay hold of Jesus because it was not yet his time. It wasn't time to go to the cross. There were more things that had to be done. I envision in my mind a human illustration of the best player on the team and saying, "Coach, put me in the game." I envision in my mind the illustration of the Lord saying, I can I can save. I can remedy. I can fix. My blood will pay for this. Put me in now. Now's the time. We realize that from Genesis chapter 3, when the Bible records for us that this one would come and he would crush the head of the serpent, that to the time when the Lord actually entered onto the scene in the flesh was nearly 4,000 years, right around 4,000 years. He was watching and waiting. Watching, as we pointed out in the Old Testament, and waiting while there were types and figures and shadows that would reflect up to him. And he said, I'm the fulfillment of that type. Not yet. You are the fulfillment of that type, but your time has not yet come. I thought too of Malachi chapter 1, for example, when the offerings were so polluted and so perverted, and the frustration that must have settled in and said, look, I am the perfect offering and sacrifice. Let's do away with this and I'll go make the sacrifice soon, but not yet. And between Malachi and Matthew, there's about 400 years of silence there. And then in the gospel writings, we see the entrance of the Lamb. John uses terminology like the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness, that Jesus was manifest in the flesh. I think Paul says it in Timothy, God was manifest in the flesh. And we know that this is none other than Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. Watch the Lamb as he begins walking upon the earth. God, who created all that is, now in a human body, walking from place to place many times, working his way towards the cross. We saw him as he walked by the well there in Samaria. And he said, I've got to go through Samaria. There's a lady there I've got to meet. Think about the disciples when they were muttering amongst themselves, why is he going through Samaria? Doesn't he know we kind of avoid Samaria? Bunch of half-Gentile, half-Jewish people, isn't it? We really think we ought to stay out of Samaria. And maybe they were in the background saying, you know, John, you should tell him. I'm not going to tell him. You tell him, Peter. You're the one that's always putting your foot in your mouth. You tell him. I'm not going to tell him. Think about it and behold the Lamb as he is working his way very specifically, but making his way towards that cross. Watch the Lamb, and we left off last week where he's forgiven that adulterous woman in John chapter 8. Think about those that just get this scene in your mind, and that these wicked men bring her to him, caught in the act of adultery, and figure that they're going to prove a point. And Jesus just quietly, remember, stoops down and starts writing. Of course, we don't know for sure what he'd written, but I wonder if he didn't write her name and then write underneath of it, forgiven. And then he begins to write their names and list their sins. Watch the Lamb as he begins to show why he's here and who he is. the mercy, and the forgiveness found in Him. We watched the Lamb this morning as Brother Keith read in John chapter 9, you're giving sight to the blind man. And the parents, they're being grilled. Who is this that did this to your son? You're one of those disciples, aren't you? No. All we know is that our son was once blind, and now he can see. Watch the Lamb as he describes himself in John chapter 10, and we pick up from here this morning. In John chapter 10, as he says, verse 7, and Jesus, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We are considering the Lamb as he's working and walking towards that cross, making his way. We consider him as God in the flesh, now veiled in flesh and subject to the flesh, having to walk from place to place. And he's in this scene here, and he's teaching in John chapter 10. And he says, I'm the door. I'm the way. As he said in John 14, a similar thing. I'm the way. And then he makes the statement that all that have come before are thieves and robbers. Now that must have made the religious world at that time kind of stand on their heads. He thinks he's the only way? Yeah, he does. He not only thinks it, he knows it. And the religious machine of the time, quite convinced that they had the answers. We read, and Keith read this morning about, again, he'd healed on the Sabbath. And boy, that turned him upside down. He's healing on the Sabbath. I mean, doesn't he know anything? Watch the Lamb as he turns over and turns upside down the religious machinery of the day and goes about doing that which the Father has sent him to do, reminding people along the way, I'm the door. I'm the only way to enter in. It's got to be through me. And consider the scene around him saying that and the outrage that would have happened as he said that. And then in verses 11 through 18 in this chapter here, he calls himself the Good Shepherd. And he reminds them that he is, just another illustration of the same thing, I'm the Good Shepherd in verse 11. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he's beginning to tell them exactly what he's going to do. Watch the Lamb as he begins to reveal to them, and they don't yet get it, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. Using that illustration of that shepherd out in the field that would sacrifice his very life trying to protect the sheep. Watch the Lamb as he's working and moving about and then along the way teaching who he is. Along the way in John 11, watch the Lamb as he raises Lazarus from the dead. We see in John 11, and usually when folks are given a choice as to what verse they want to memorize, and they usually go to John 11, Jesus wept. And he did. He wept over, verse 35 tells us that, he wept over the effect of sin. Lazarus is dead. You have Lazarus dead, you have his family weeping over the loss of Lazarus. The effect of sin is death. And Jesus' friend has died. Watch the Lamb as he comes face to face with sin. And he weeps. Touched by the loss of these family members. Touched by the effect of sin. Watch the Lamb as he tells them, as he tells Lazarus, come forth. Get a picture in your mind's eye of the scene around that. And it tells us here, in John chapter 11, he says in verse 39, take ye away the stone. Martha, of course, warns him that you don't really want to do that. He's been dead 4 days. It stinks in there. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, say I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lift up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hast heard me always, but because of this people which stand by, I said that they might believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Watch the Lamb as he teaches us a lesson that he's not crying with a loud voice so that he might have more power in the command. He's crying with a loud voice that those around might see him working. Get a picture in your eye around that tomb of Lazarus, who's been dead 4 days, all wrapped up. And think of the crowd when Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, do you think anybody there was going, look at that cloud over there? Do you think anybody there was looking anywhere but right at the entrance of that tomb? You think anybody there was texting? You think anybody there was distracted in any way? The Lamb was working. And those who had eyes of faith wanted to see it. And those that were just standing around wondering, who is this? And what is he doing? And there's Lazarus coming forth out of the grave. Out of the tomb. Can you imagine the crowd? Watch the Lamb. Keep your eye on him. Keep your eye on him. He's working. He's busy doing what God has told him to do. And all that he's doing is doing, he is doing so that men might believe on him and who has sent him. I'm not saying this in a loud voice for any other reason that the folks around here might see you, Father. And he cried with a loud voice, and Lazarus came forth. Now, verse 44, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot. Now, folks, that had to make a crowd just go crazy. I don't care how you cut this. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. He's bound hand and foot. He that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. You don't wrap up a live person in grave clothes. Take those grave clothes off of him. Liberate him and free him. Let him go. What a picture of the working of the Lamb of God in every life of the believer, every believer's heart. Bring in life where there was death. And begin to take off those grave clothes where our lives were all encumbered about and wrapped up with the grave clothes. And he said, take off those grave clothes, you're alive. And the picture that he gives us then in some of the epistles, put off this wardrobe and put on this wardrobe. Put on Christ. Watch the Lamb. As the crowd goes a little nuts, seeing this scene of Lazarus come forth, watch the Lamb. No surprise on his face that Lazarus comes forth. Do you suppose he cracked a little grin? Do you suppose Jesus in his mind kind of said, watch this? And as Lazarus come forth, and no surprise, it seems to me that there would have almost had to been pleased smile on the Lord's face. Victory over death. Victory. And this is just a picture of what I'm going to bring to every one of my people. Pull them out of the tombs and the graves where they lay. Pull them out wrapped up in the grave clothes that are fitting a dead body. And bring them out and set them on the rock of me and give them life and tell them, now live for me. Get those grave clothes off and serve me. Watch the Lamb. In the next chapter of the book of John, he rides triumphantly into Jerusalem. Chapter 12, verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Picture the scene as they cry, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Lord, save us now. And you get a little insight into what they thought. They thought he was the Savior and Deliverer. They were right, but they had applied it incorrectly. The Jewish people had been under the Roman occupation and under the Roman domination. And they thought, he's going to deliver us from Rome. He's going to be our Savior from Pilate and his cronies. And if he can raise the dead, oh, Hosanna, save us. Deliver us. And they gave him this triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It wouldn't be long. It wouldn't be long at all. Jesus is going to go through a night of torture. And the cries are going to change. It's not long at all. And the cries go from, Hosanna, save us, to crucify him. See, he's getting close to the cross. Keep your eye on the Lamb. Watch the Lamb. The time is getting very near. Right here in chapter 12, verse 23. in 24, he begins to talk about it more openly. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you that except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He's beginning to teach now that he's going to have to die. They're not yet getting it and seeing it, but he's beginning to teach it. Keep your eye on the Lamb as he's getting closer and closer to that cross. Now he's in full teaching and preparation mode. He's in John chapter 13. And he begins to teach his disciples some things. Because the disciples, well, they've still got an awful lot to learn, and his days are real short with them. And in John 13, and then the parallel writings that the other Gospels support, that as they were sitting around the table, remember that Jesus had been asked, should we make the Passover elements ready? And he said, yes. Prepare for the Passover. Make the elements ready. They were gathered together. And Matthew 26 records that they were eating the Passover. And the gospel writers remind us that while they were sitting, I mean, watch the Lamb here and get a picture in your mind of what's going on. You have Jesus. And this is where I wish a lot of times those artist renderings would be gone, and they would never have been there, so that it would cloud your mind with somebody's artist's interpretation of the scene, but that the Spirit of God would fill our minds with the scene. But you have the table with the 12, and you have Jesus. Keep your eye on him. He's going to teach him a lesson. He overhears off in the distance two of the apostles debating about who's going to be the greatest in heaven and who's going to get to sit the closest to Jesus. And Jesus in John 13 gets up, takes a towel there. He washes their feet. Verse 4. He riseth from the supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Of course, you have a scene here where they are totally flabbergasted. What is he doing? Watch the Lamb as he begins to teach them a very, very valuable lesson. Consider the fact that Judas is around this table as well. Watch the Lamb as he tells Judas, go, and that which you do, do quickly. And again, the other gospel writers debate amongst themselves, what is he telling Judas to do? What's going on? Watch the Lamb. Keep your eye on the Lamb. He sends Judas off to go cut a deal. And for 30 pieces of silver, rat him out to the guards. And the sign, you know, will be a kiss on the cheek. And Jesus knows that. Notice how this John 13 records this. In verse 2, the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. It's time. Getting near that cross. Watch the Lamb as he's working and walking making his way to the cross. He's along the way teaching. Along the way, he's right now in John and records four chapters of nothing but instructions. Four chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 is a prayer. Four chapters of instructions. I'm leaving, guys. Won't be long. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to think. This is how you need to do it. This is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to send the Spirit of God to be your comforter. And they've got 1,000 questions. Watch the Lamb as He patiently answers those questions. For example, in John 14, He starts off, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know." And Thomas interrupts Him and says, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, or and how can we know the way?" He had been teaching them. And Thomas again says, "Lord, I don't know. I don't get it." Watch the Lamb as He patiently says, "Thomas," and He says unto them in verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." Watch the Lamb as He continues for the next couple of chapters to give the final instructions. And then in chapter 17, pray for them. "Oh, Father, I'm leaving. Be with them." Watch the Lamb as we read in chapter 18 how He is betrayed by Judas and tried. In chapter 18, first 5 verses here. "And when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which He entered, and His disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus ofttimes resorted thither with the disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees," the religious gang, the religious machinery of the day, the chief priests and Pharisees, "cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, 'Whom seek ye?' They answered Him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus saith unto them, 'I am He.' And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon as He said unto them, 'I am He,' they went backward and fell to the ground." Can you imagine? This military group of men, armed and ready. Jesus, the Lamb of God, knowing all that's going to take place, turns to them and says, "What do you want? Who are you looking for?" "We're looking for Jesus." I mean, can you see Him? Can you see Him in your mind's eye with their swords and shields? And they're ready. They're military men. "We're looking for Jesus." Or more rather, "We're looking for Jesus. Where is He?" "I'm here." They all fall down. Can you see the Lamb in your mind's eye as He just says, "I am He"? And as soon as He said unto them, "I am He," they went backward and fell on the ground. Wouldn't it have been so easy for Jesus to say, "Who'd you want? I say it again. Watch the Lamb," as he just says, "I'm he." And allows them then to get up and take him. Allows them then to get up and escort him into a series of trials, mock trials. If you count them up, I believe you'll count six of them altogether. It's the middle of the night, friends. And they have the Sanhedrin all assembled, waiting on Jesus. The Sanhedrin, 70 men plus the chief priests make 71. They have the Sanhedrin all assembled, and all they have to do is Judas has to go out and tell them which one he is. And they're going to drag him into court, and they're going to get some liars, pay some liars to tell him that he had done certain things. And the best they could come up with is that he's a blasphemer. Says he's the Son of God. That's got to be blasphemy. Watch the Lamb as the trials turn into torture. And he, like Isaiah says, he goes to the like a lamb silent. He goes to the beatings and the torture like a lamb silent. One big difference. If you're corralling some sheep, and the Bible talks about taking them to the shearers, or even if you were corralling the sheep to take them to the slaughterhouse, they don't know where they're going. They walk down the trough quiet. You know, if you could translate the "bah" into words, the one saying to them, "Where are we going?" "I don't know. Let's go. What's at the end of this long tunnel?" "Food, probably. Let's go." They're walking along silently. They don't know what's going on, but Jesus knew. And he was still silent. The Lamb of God knew that Judas was coming to the garden, and he went there anyway. He went there because of it. The Lamb of God knew that the Roman band would come armed and ready, and he said, "Here I am." Now, many a time, he snuck out the back door because it was not yet his time. Many a time the Bible records that they sought to lay hands on him, but they couldn't find him. It's not yet his time. But here, "I'm right here, guys. What do you want? What's the sword's all about? Peter, put yours down. Let's go. I came here for this purpose. To go to that cross, and that's where you folks want me." Watch the Lamb as he, in John chapter 19, the Bible records there in the first verse, he was, Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers platted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and they mocked him, and they said, "Hail, the King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. You read on down through John 19, and it's a horrible scene. They would beat on him and with his head covered up and say, "Okay, prophesy, tell us who hit you." And he does all of this silently. He's making his way to the cross. That's what he came to do. God will provide himself a lamb, and he is here. And it is time. And there will be no quick entry or exit out the back. There will be no, they want to lay their hands on him, but they couldn't find him. "I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere." Pilate seems like he thinks that if he puts a real good beating on him and presents him to the crowd, that that will satisfy the crowd. When you compare the gospel writers together, I believe that's what Pilate had on his mind. And he put a bad beating on him with the soldiers and ushered him back out in front of the people. And it would seem like Pilate said, okay, I beat him to a bloody pulp. Isn't that good enough? I find no wrong in him to take him to the cross. And they clamored all the more, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate washes his hands and said, okay, do it. Watch the Lamb as he is walking now with a cross on his back. Watch the Lamb as he's walking and working and making his way to that place where he's going to lay down his life. He's been all night at this. He went out to pray several times or several times he caught the apostles asleep. And then they came in the middle of the night and rounded him up and took him, and it's been a night of torture and a day of trials. And watch the Lamb as he's got to be so weary. But he carries that cross and he makes his way to Golgotha. In John chapter 19, after his life has been surrendered and he gave up the ghost, Joseph of Arimathea comes. Jesus is no more walking. The Lamb is dead. He's given his life. And Joseph of Arimathea has to carry him to the tomb. You read about it in the end of John chapter 19. Watch the Lamb. Keep your eye on the Lamb. He's not in that tomb very long. 3 days and three nights. The stone's rolled away. Early on the first day of the week, the stone being rolled away reveals he's not there. The Lamb is alive. Watch the Lamb as we read in Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. Well, I've verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Come and see where Jesus, the Lamb, had been laying. But he's not there now. He's alive. Look at John 21 and keep your eye on the Lamb as he reveals himself to his apostles. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us he revealed himself to above 500 brethren at one time. Watch the Lamb as he comes to the place where the apostles are gathered together, the doors being shut, and he shows up in the middle. Watch the Lamb. He didn't need a door. Watch the Lamb as he tells Thomas, who's still got a lot of questions, oh, Thomas, you were asking me questions
We read it in John 14. Now you're still asking me questions. Look, Thomas. Watch the Lamb. As he tells Thomas to touch his hands and his side and see, I'm Jesus. I'm the Lamb. Watch the Lamb as he begins to comfort them again. Watch the Lamb. Keep your eye on him. There's a lot more. The Lord willing, we will see the Lamb of God next week. Warning. Warning's down the road. Warning and weeping. Watch the Lamb as he knows who he is, he knows why he's here, and he's crying out the warning. Repent. Watch the Lamb. Do you see? Let me say it differently. Have you seen him as your Savior? Have you heeded his warning? Repent. Have you seen him as victorious over sin and death and hell itself? Have you seen him by faith? Your victor, the one who has forgiven you of your sins and brought new life into your heart. Oh, keep your eye on the Lamb. There's so much more that he's done. There's so much more to see. John ends his recording in the book of John, and the world couldn't hold all the books that it would take to record what Jesus did while he was on this earth. Keep your eye on the Lamb. He's busy. He's not watching and waiting any longer. He's walking and working his way towards that cross. And now he's past that cross. And the Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Keep your eye on him. He'll never lead you astray. He'll never let you down. The psalmist said, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is. Do you know him today as the Lamb of God that not that came and took away the sin of the world as a general concept, but that he took away my sin. That he died for me. It does not matter if you think he took away the sin of the world. That's not the point. Did he take away your sin? Keep your eye on the Let us stand. I hope that today, I pray that today, through the eye of faith,